being a criterion in the word of God for choosing who a good husband is. Now, a friend told me of, this really happened in this Enugu here, somewhere or somewhere around, of a girl who one day, a very rich man, young man, came to her house driving a giant car. You know what I mean by giant car? And the parents noticed. So when he left, they asked her, who is that? And she said, don't mind him. So what do you mean, don't mind him? He said, he wants to marry me. And said, the father looked at her and said, you are very stupid. How can you tell me not to mind a man that has that kind of car? Listen to me. By the time they finished, she married the guy. Drug dealer. No, now, guess what I'm trying to say? That is, all that impressed them was that this man came well physically made. Why won't we mind him? Listen, that is corruption that they have invited into the family. Listen, the wealth of iniquity can never bring good to anybody. Illegal business can never go legit. It doesn't happen. The way God redeems people is sell all the money. Look at what the guy said. He said, God. He said, he came to Jesus Christ. What's his name now? Is it Zacchaeus? If I have defrauded anybody, I will repay it. Is it fourfold? Because that was what their law said. You needed to buy your freedom. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Now, let me get back to what I'm saying. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God's righteousness means that this is the way God said things should be done. So Jesus said, following the perfect order of God is what brings success automatically. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That what God has joined together, nobody can put it asunder. You want enduring prosperity, there is only one way it comes. And the reason why it comes like that, it's not like God is, how do I say it now? You know, it's not as if God just likes, you know, how do you say it, that you're just full of yourself, you know, as a human being. This is where I want it. No. The issue is that if Sonny made a piece of gadget, he made a gadget, you had better go to Sonny to take their instructions for how it will run. God made this earth, he didn't consult with you ahead of time. He didn't say, shall we make it like this? He decided amongst himself, let us make, you understand my point? Let there be. He didn't ask you. You cannot change the order in the things that he has made. The thing will not work. It's not a matter of being proud. The fact is that it will not work. If I get tired of putting petrol inside my tank and say, now I want to put diesel. No, it happened to me once, you know. It wasn't my car. You know, it was my generator at home. I went to buy petrol and diesel at the same time. So when I got home, I just took the petrol jerrycan. It was dark. I just poured the thing into the diesel engine. No, I was using a hose to pass it in. So I was telling myself that this thing, the diesel was plenty that I bought. The petrol was small because of what I needed it for. Then why is this thing going like this? There's suddenly something in me just remembered. You are pouring petrol into your diesel engine. What shall I do? It was night. I needed to run that engine that night. So I called my mechanic. I said, Christian, I have put petrol into my diesel engine, my generator. What shall I do? He said, Doc, whatever you do, don't start it. If you start it, the engine will knock. Now, I just want to bring that one out. He said, it's a diesel engine. It runs on automotive gas oil, like they call it in petroleum. If you run petrol on it, the engine will knock. So I just shut the thing down, closed the door, and went to sleep. The next day we tackled it. I'm explaining. It's not like petrol is angry with me or diesel is angry with me. The generator is not angry. It was not made to run on petrol. Do you understand my point? This earth was not made to house homosexuals. Are you getting what I'm saying? This earth was not made for... That's why God said the things that they did in that land is why the land became polluted and it vomited up its inhabitants. Are you getting the principle of what I'm saying? That is, if you want success, therefore, God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness describes how he expects things to be done. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. Now, one point, you know, there's actually, well, what I have to say is so plenty, I'll get to wherever I can get to today and go on. Now, in this thing I'm saying, I was talking about words, all right? Now, I said, the word of God is a seed. And the word of God has three things inside it. Now, there are three things you will discover if you look into God's word. One, there is a purpose of God described in his word. Then there are the promises of God. And last of all, which is what I've been speaking about, there are the procedures, that is the righteousness of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me go by it again. I started by saying that words work automatically. Once words are planted in you, they bring forth results. You know, the other day I was explaining something about how Fulani girls or young women, when they are delivering, I won't say they don't show pain. As far as I'm concerned, they don't feel pain. People have said all kinds of things about how it came to be. But one thing is sure. I know this for sure. Their bodies and that of every other lady on earth is likely to be the same thing. That if you did anatomy and inspected the nerve fibers all over their body, it's likely to be identical to that of the Hausa girl right beside them, because those ones manifest like any other person. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that, what people say is that since they are young, they have been told, now I'm coming to the issue of words, that labor is not supposed to be painful. That is, they keep telling them. Now, I told the words are very powerful. Now, these girls have never delivered, yet they know that the day they go into labor, they won't shout for pain. They are so sure of it that the day labor starts, they will just tap you that, sir, I am in labor. I want to deliver. And listen to me, if you have never seen it, you can't understand what I'm saying until you see. That is, see women who deliver normally and you think that the volcano is about to erupt. And go to them, you think they're having a bath in their jacuzzi. You understand my point? They're just relaxed and bubble is everywhere. The water is warm, soap is bubbling. Why? This is what I'm coming to. I believe this. That's what I was told, actually. That's how they have been instructed. They have been told. They have reformed their imaginations to show that this is the way it is. And the thing, listen, the word always becomes flesh. When the word became flesh in the time of Jesus Christ, it was not an innovation. It had become flesh before. Let the earth bring forth living creatures. Was that not word becoming flesh? Are you understanding what I say? The difference in the time of Jesus, which word became flesh? Every word eventually becomes flesh. No, believe me what I'm saying. If you keep on telling a child he's stupid, by the time he's 40, go and check the weight of his brain. His brain will have shrunken. I'm telling you what I'm saying. No, I know what I'm saying. Spiritual things are very powerful. They are very powerful. Remember I said something in Mark chapter 4, that it was when the seeds planted is the kingdom of God that it produces a particular kind of result. That we said seeds always produce results. But if you plant the seed that is of the kingdom of God, that is when it produces what is bigger than all else. Do you follow me? Now, let me just finish this thing. So I said, in God's word, what do you find? You find that God's word describes three things. Number one, it describes God's purpose. Number two, it describes God's promises. And three, it describes God's procedures. I just chose the words P, that third one, to just make the three P's, all right? Now, but what I mean by procedures is that God's methods for doing things, which is what we call God's righteousness. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, God made the earth. He has a control over the whole earth. He understands how it works, and he made it for a purpose. If anybody will take God's word into his heart, remember what we said earlier, that these young girls that had a particular kind of word planted in them, it produced results in their flesh. If you have God's word planted, established in your heart, it always produces results also. But God's word describes three things I'm saying here. God's purpose describes God's promises, and then also describes the procedure that God expects people to walk by on the earth. And then get results. Now, there's something this man said. There's something I want to bring forth here. I don't know what, should I? Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. I think it would be good. Now, I just want to read one part. Verse 18. It said, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. He said, now let's first read the type before we read the interpretation. That's verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked it. and yielded no fruit. Then let's get down to where we're reading from now, verse 18. He said, these are the ones that have heard the word. 19 says, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, what I want to bear in mind is this. The seed always brings forth fruit, all right? But then they also seem to compete for space. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. Notice what we read in verse 7. It said the thorns came up and choked the word. That is, initially, it wasn't obvious that they were there. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, a time came that they sprang up and then choked the word. Meaning, therefore, if the word will bear results, the person has to uproot the seed of thorns, interestingly enough, with that same word first. There was a story again that my friend, that's the same friend who gave me the other, just told me once, of a young woman who was mother of fellowship. You know the way campus fellowships can be. Mother of fellowship can be, they are very spiritual people. A year or two after she left school, she got married, and she married a drug dealer. I know you are wiping your eyes like, no, it's not possible. She did not know. They said everybody knew. Maybe she didn't know, but everybody knew. That they knew so much that her mother's church people excommunicated her mother from their society for giving her daughter over to a drug dealer. That is, the older people had enough sense. I smile to myself when I think about such things. God said, what you saw earlier was the world just springing up quickly. Then when she left school, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things entered in and killed what effect, whatever word she had, should have had in her life. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Listen, this is the way these things work. Whatever inside your heart, whatever is dominant, eventually will show itself as being dominant. But I like one thing God told Jeremiah. He said, I have put my words in your mouth. There are six things the words will do. Number one, it will uproot. Number two, it will... Let's just go there so we can get everything clear. Jeremiah chapter 1. If you read from verse 9, it said, then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Notice this. With those words, you will pluck up, break down, destroy, overthrow. Then you will build and you will plant. Listen, let me tell you something about life. I said something earlier. That everything you believe, which comes from things that you are told, will produce results in your life. And I explained that God has in his word procedures for doing things, which is what we call God's righteousness. And because he made the earth, listen, he will always, listen to this, God will always be shown to be true and everybody will be a liar. Listen to how God does things. Every ideology that wants to exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ, God allows it to germinate, bear fruit, become great, and then he judges it while it's at its height. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know why? The Bible said that there might be a demonstration of the righteousness of God. God operates two ways. God doesn't just operate by, I am God and none else. So I do what I like. No. He does that. But the second thing he does, which is actually the thing he does more, is that he will show you that he is God by events that will happen. That he doesn't prove that he is God. Other things around will prove that he is God. Are you getting my point? It's like the challenge of with the prophets of Baal from Elijah. Elijah said, God is God. The prophets of Baal said, no, Baal is God. He said, okay, no problem, let's prove it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is what, if you read Romans chapter 3, that's what he calls the demonstration of his righteousness. That God's way of doing things will be shown to be correct. So this is what God does. Communism came and said, we don't need God. What we need is for all men to be equal. Are you getting my point? That all men must be equal. God said, well, I that made the fingers, I didn't make them equal. I give to men according to their ability. That different people having different levels of wealth, it's not discrimination in the society. That is, I give to men what they can handle. In God's order, in his kingdom, he will have given you a test. See what you can handle. He gives you 2 talents, 5. Whatever you do with it, will decide the number of cities he puts you in charge over. As a young man, God gives you money, things to do with money. As you handle issues now, decide what he will give you in 20 years' time. Communism cannot enforce the contrary. It's not possible. So they said, we will do it. God said, no problem, let's watch it. So he allowed them for almost 100 years to flourish. Then one day by themselves, they stood. Remember, God said that that statue was broken. Nobody saw the hand. There's some way that Daniel described it. We just watched communism, and it was judged from inside. By themselves, they realized that it had failed. Are you getting my point? They watched it. They saw that it failed. You know, it's like God saying, you know, I told you. That is, you didn't have to go through this. I could have told you. But since you didn't accept what I said, okay, I allowed it to work for a while for you. Many things we practice, all right? That's what will happen to it. If you open your mouth and say, this is how it is done in our place, you know, God will say, well, I can show you how to do it too. You say, no, this is how my father said. This is how my friend. Everybody's doing like this. I say, no problem. It will take 15 years for you to learn the lesson, but it's 15 years of trouble I could have saved you. But since you like it like that, but you will learn it. If I was talking to one pastor yesterday when I went to the bank, I saw him there. I said, you know one thing I found about God and his children? That you will learn. If God loves you, you will learn. You will learn. The problem is, you either learn it simply, or you learn it the difficult way. But that you will not learn, that will not happen. The people that don't learn are the ones that God has given up on. Ephraim has joined himself to her idols. Leave him alone. I was talking to a friend recently. I told him that, you know the prayer I pray for some people, that work they are doing, may it never prosper. I said, because the day it begins to prosper, I know God has given up. That is, a man is walking outside the will of God. As long as he's meeting frustrations and failures, it is good. He will learn. Then the day God does like this, suddenly he's released from the restraint that God has placed upon him. And he begins to prosper in his own effort. But in his effort. But by that time, his destruction has been determined. The Bible says, overflowing with righteousness. There's nothing anybody can do. A time comes where God just leaves people alone. My prayer for Christians that may you not get to that point. That is, let trouble continue to be upon you as long as the sign of God's hand trying to control you. Are you following the point I'm making? This is how God does things. You want to walk against the will of God, he will leave you. Oh, wait. You see, that's if you're not a child of God, you know, like communists gather together and say, communism is God. God said, well, no problem. Let's leave them for a while so that my children will see that it doesn't work like that. That is, you will be a demonstration of God's righteousness. In their lives, I will show that that thing does not work. That it is what I say, there's a law. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, follow me closely, please. In every area of life where you are looking for success, God has a purpose, I told you. God has promises to carry you through difficult times. You hear things like, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will not fear any evil. That the righteous man falls 7 times, but the Lord raises him up. He said, my enemies do not rejoice over me when I fall down, because I shall rise again. Those promises come to remind you that even though I go down, I'm coming up. If you like, push me down and you succeed. As long as I'm the apple of God's eyes, I'm going to rise again. There is nothing you can do to keep me down. Those are God's promises. But God says that if you are going to indeed succeed, like I said, you have to follow my righteousness, my procedures. Do you follow my point? But the problem with people, they desire God's results. Listen, marriage, for example, let me use an example. It was an invention of God. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, nobody, you know, Adam never asked God for a wife. God looked and said, Adam, you know, I know what will be good for you. So I will create that institution called marriage. So nobody has a right to tell God how to do it. No society, no law, no custom, nothing can overturn God's way. Anyone that tries will meet with failure. What God has joined together, nobody can put asunder. Disobedience to God's order meets with failure. It has been joined together. Do you understand my point? Now, let me go to this other. I want to close with this. Take another example, business. Concepts that people have. You know, I said something once to us here. I said, most businesses are set to fail within the first, is it 1 or 2 years? I'm not sure of the figures now, from when they start. I said, do you know why? And now, that one is a fact. It's a sociology fact. It's a scientific fact. You study society, you will find it to be true. Most businesses people start, they start it and it fails. I said, I know why. There is a spiritual reason. The Bible said the things that are seen are not made of the things that are visible. There is a spiritual reason underlying it. What's that spiritual reason? Most businesses are started purely for money. There is a law of progress and success in this life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you set out to receive, you will not succeed. That is, you set out. All your machinations are, what can I get? You know, God can use your wickedness. You know, God does all kinds of things. He will allow you if he needs the facility for the time being. But he will judge the thing after some time. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Why did Dell become a billionaire before he hit the age of 40? He needed a computer. It was expensive. So he fabricated one for himself by buying the parts. So his friends saw it and said, it is good. Can you do it for us? He said, why not? After doing it for a few people, he realized that, people will buy computers if they could afford it. So he dropped out from school to start making computers that people can afford, that people could afford. So the idea is that we match your pocket. So you will tell them, I have $500. They will tell you what they can give you for $500, but whichever way you will get a computer. They told me last week they were selling laptops, refurbished laptops, for as low as $50. That was about 2 weeks ago. That there was pandemonium in Texas. That the queues were 2 days long. That people will come and queue, that were on the queue yesterday. I said, it is Dell. Now you buy a brand new state-of-the-art laptop for less than $1,000. It wasn't like that before Dell came. Everybody's coming down to meet Dell. Henry Ford did the same thing. The man said that, why can't an average person buy a car? People say big cars make more profit margin, but he said everybody needs to drive one. After some time, he said, the people that work for me making cars, why can't they drive the cars that they manufacture? So the man kept on knocking down the price of his cars. He invented the assembly line method of manufacturing, which must have been given to him by the Spirit of God to allow his imaginations to come to pass. Let me tell you something about these things. It's not just a matter of principle. These are spiritual forces working in the lives of people, believe me. That is, when God saw the heart, he said, this is the way life is. Mike Murdock said, "You are born, that life is made for connection. That if you are not blessing somebody's life, you can't live long." So if you set out in life to be a blessing to people's lives, you have set your path on the road to long life. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, what makes a man big and another one small is that, like I quoted Mahatma Gandhi for you, that he is small. That he said the big man is one that serves interest. No, the great man is one that serves interest greater than himself. Do you get my point? That is what makes a man truly great, is that he wakes up in the morning. What can I do to bless somebody else's life? Now, I'm explaining something about the righteousness of God. That God has a purpose. His purpose is that man will not perish, but have eternal life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I said Christianity is not the purpose of God. It is just the way to the purpose of God. He said, for God so loved that he gave, that they might not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Now, in that, anybody that's working with God, God has promises to carry him through difficult times, to give him a focus, so that even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he will not fear any evil. But he said, while you walk, Jotham became great. The Bible said, because he ordered his steps before the Lord his God. Are you getting my point? That is, a part of greatness is to order your steps according to the righteousness of God. Now, this applies in every part of life. Are you getting what I'm saying? That success, listen, is not a product of struggles. It is of God that shows mercy. And God's mercies are not spontaneous. He doesn't close his eyes and just say, Esau have I hated. Like, people try to misunderstand God. If you understand him very well, he'll tell you that Esau was a godless man who despised his inheritance. Esau did not like what God had to give, so God also did not like him back. Are you getting my point? He said, the mercies of God are abundant upon them that fear him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, blessed are the merciful. Why? They shall obtain mercy. Therefore, success in life, which is a function of mercy, can be tapped into by being merciful. That's what God is saying. You know, I said something. Let me talk about business as an example. Imaginations formed in people's hearts come from different things and affects the way they behave. If you get the word of God, it works like fire. Get what I'm saying? You use it to attack those negative things they have taught you about business. You know, I've said nobody becomes great on earth selling things very expensive. No, none. They always wax and rapidly win. They go up and quickly they burn out. Look, designer houses will flourish today. Another one will come and overtake them. That's the way it goes. Are you getting my point? That's the way they go. They make something for Ben Carson said. They go make jeans for $5 in Asia. Come and put $200 on it. That is a designer. Just put their name, sign it on it. You know, it's just for a short while. After some time, the thing will go down. It will go down. I was watching the story of Mel Gibson the other day when he made The Passion of the Christ. He said, I couldn't help but make it. That for him, it was like he just wanted to demonstrate for the world to see what his Savior Jesus Christ went through. Everybody said it will not work. Are you getting my point? So he invested his $30 million, all the money he had, to make the film. If you're working on proportion, it's the most successful film ever made. But he didn't set out to make money. This is the point I'm coming to about success in life. He did not set out to make money. He set out to do something. He wanted to do something for certain reasons, but ended up making money from it. True success does not come up by chasing after money. He said, there is a man with an evil eye. He's pursuing after wealth, but the Bible says he does not understand that poverty will come upon him. Now, I've spoken at length, but I've tried to build up something for us from the beginning. That number one, listen, God made this earth. He has his purpose for making it, and he has the procedures for anybody who will be working on this earth. And if you walk outside God's procedures, you are walking out of his righteousness. That seek first the kingdom of God and the methods or procedure or what we call the righteousness of God. Is that every other thing will be added to you. God made this life that one man should be a blessing to another. So somebody is going out in business, he wants to succeed. The question should be, how can I bless somebody else's life? I told her the story before of Mary Kay Ash. She started that cosmetic company, not as a cosmetic company. It was just a marketing company. That is, she learned some things in marketing. And she said, let me teach people. He said, but nobody will listen to a nobody. So he said, let me put into practice the things I have learned so that people will know that life can be lived like this. He said, okay, what do I do? I want to enrich, because she felt she was, which was a fact, that she was unfairly treated being a woman and all the pressures of life. Her husband deserted her. She had 4 kids to raise and she had to work. And the place where she worked, they didn't reward her according to her labor. God said, don't worry. I'm putting that thing inside you as a seed. Just watch. After writing the book and saying, now, what can we sell? Then she started thinking. Then she remembered, okay, some cosmetic that made people's skin look younger that one of her friends used to have. She approached her, sell it to me, the right, and they did. By the time she died, she was a billionaire. Are you getting my point? That is what the Bible calls the righteousness of God. That if you walk according to what God said you should do, it's not possible to fail. It's not. That words have been sown in people's lives, that this is how things are done here. I like one thing. Well, you say I like or I dislike, but it's a fact. Somebody told me once. He said, when you get to a place, if people are plucking out their ears, you pluck out your ear. I said, it's a lie. If God said, keep your ears intact, I keep it intact. All of you go deaf, I'll be hearing. That is the meaning of the righteousness of God. You can say the rule is cut your ear. I won't cut my own. Because God has to have people. He needs it. People that he will use to demonstrate his righteousness. Let me tell you about the demonstration of his righteousness. That they will fail, you will succeed doing what God says you should do. I gave an example before here that in Enugu, at the time, what people like to do was to rig their pumps. You know, you deliver 10 liters and claim it is 15 liters and the man pays for it. God said, one thing I hate is an unjust weight. Now, if God says he hates something, be afraid. Now, when God says, I hate this thing, you know, for God so loved that he did the what? He gave. For God so hates that he takes. That is, God said, if I see a man that's oppressing the fatherless or a widow, he said, I take the life of such people. I told you that personally, after observing what happened in Iraq, in my opinion, the invasion of Iraq was to stop the wickedness of Saddam and his children, especially his children and his father, for not restraining them. I hope you have understood what I have said. I hope you have understood what I have said. So it's important, therefore, there's one quote I want to end with. There's one man I was listening to on TBN during the week. His name is Tommy Tenney. He said, whatever impresses you attracts you. Now, there's a place I wanted to connect this with, but I just remember that I said I will mention it now, and it's just good to mention it. And what I mean is this. If people are doing wickedly and what is wrong, and, you know, people are attracted. Let me explain what I'm saying. I told a story about drug dealers and all that before. There was one film I saw some time ago. The guy said all his life he wanted to be a gangster, and he became one. All right? Why? Because all the gangsters around him, they were rich, they had money, and they were above the law. So to him, it was better than being the president. And he became a gangster. And as a young man, sometime in his late, well, when I was moving towards middle age, he had to disappear because his gangster friends were looking out for him. They wanted to shoot him and kill him. What am I saying? What he desired came to him. Do you understand? But what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, whatever it is you desire, it will... Look, this man, woman, what's her name? Kenneth Copeland's wife, Gloria Copeland. He said, be careful what you desire. Because whatever you desire will eventually... Oh, okay, she wasn't the one that said, but I think it's just a common saying. Whatever you desire will come to you. But the point is that things that come to you bring things along with them. And those ones are beyond your desire. They don't ask your opinion, they just impose themselves upon you. Do you understand my point? Now, what I've shared with today, let me just end it. The main thing is this. God made this earth, and he has his procedure. It's called the righteousness of God. Faith is that you understand that. He said, he that comes to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. God has the way by which he does things. He said in Isaiah chapter 55, he said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Your ways and my own, they are not the same. That is, your responsibility is to learn the ways of God. And that is what we call the righteousness of God. And I said, anybody walking according to God's order, if God says an unjust weight is bad, don't use an unjust weight in your business. Even if you are pierced like you are foolish. If he says he's more blessed to give, always look for an avenue to be a blessing to somebody else's life. Listen, your lamp will never go out in the time of darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, wealth and success, progress and prosperity in this life is a gift of God. Are you getting me? God just looks and says, for certain reasons, as you know, remember what I've been saying recently, God always looks for an excuse to bless. He will say, Abraham, because of this thing that you have done, therefore, in blessing, I will bless you. There must be a because. Do you understand that? All right, let us pray.